Let's do this. Let's do it up. Yeah. More like 10 shitloads.
What are you... Don't try to out-weird me. This is where I'm supposed to be weird.
I'm Marcus Phoenix.
You're not... You don't even sound like him.
Let's get in there, Deltas!
How big is your head?
Huge.
Proportion to your body. No, it's supposed to be small. You don't even know what he looks like. You even played Gears of War?
Ah, shit.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 18th, 2009. Hey, I just realized something.
What?
Isn't next week Christmas?
Yeah.
I assume we're not recording a show on Christmas Day, right?
Well, maybe. Might be a day late.
Well, maybe we'll record it on... we'll figure something out. Yeah.
There will be a show at some point.
There will be a show next week. It's not going to be on Christmas. Hey,
let's
everyone.
Do this show.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, hello, this is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
And we're also joined by our good friend, George Kokoris.
Woo! What's going on, dudes?
Woo!
Not much.
Always good for a woo.
Yeah. I'm good for that.
Yeah.
Awkward.
So.
I thought it was a test.
How about them video games?
All right, listen. Here's what we're doing today. We're going to start with the news, which Ajguy is hopefully prepared for us.
Yeah.
And we got the quiz, the Great American Ajguy Gaming Quiz.
No.
Then we'll do... We're going to talk Game of the Decade a little bit here. I know it seems... I know some people get a little... You know, I hear people say that they get sick of Game of the Year stuff. I always love Game of the Year stuff. I'm an addict for it. So I'm sorry. You're going to have to put up with it. I love saying what shit was the best. I don't know why.
It also helps that when we pick it, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, you can't get mad at us because we have no authority.
It's a big deal if like GameSpy or IGN or 1UP picks you as Game of the Year, because you could put that shit on the box of your Game of the Year edition. No one's putting Game of the Year with a picture of an exploding barrel next to it.
Well, I really think they should.
Give Game of the Decade to, they better put a sticker on their box.
Yeah,
damn right.
It's important.
So we'll talk about that. Then we will do our weekend gaming. Then we will. You know, talk about the releases, and then I'll be the show. So, let's get going here, Ajguy.
Okay. It's war, gentlemen.
Okay.
In Team Fortress 2. They've begun doing, after this talk of friendships we had last week, it's a Demo Man and Soldier update going on Team Fortress 2 right now. And they've done this amazing kind of metagame along with it called War. Where there, in addition to the new Demo Man and new Soldier weapons, there is another weapon that could be used by either class. And the way they're going to determine who gets it is the game is keeping track of every soldier killed by a Demo Man and every Demo Man killed by a soldier. And it's really, really friggin' cool. So in addition to the gameplay tweaks we've had for the last week until I think tomorrow, here's what we know who's getting what so far. The new Demoman weapons that have been confirmed is the Scottish Resistance, which is a sticky launcher that fires 8 remote bombs, and you can choose which ones to blow up by looking at that cluster. So you could defend more points, but they don't do quite as much damage, I believe. The Islander is a giant Scottish sword, which decapitates people. It's haunted. And the Charging Targe, it's an old-timey wooden shield that allows you to charge at speeds faster than the scout and slam into people. The soldier has the direct hit, which is a rocket launcher that doesn't do as much splash damage, but does more direct damage. And they also move 80% faster and result in many crits if you hit a midair target. The Equalizer is a pickaxe that replaces the spade that will do more damage the less health you have. And then the buff banner, it adds to a rage meter while you have it equipped, and then once it's full, you pull out a bugle, and you buff nearby allies with mini crits for 14 seconds.
Sweet.
They're also introducing crafting into the game, which I don't quite follow this, but yeah, you can take all your items, like hats and weapons and everything, and with blueprints you have to collect, you can make new items. They haven't really given specifics of this yet.
Basically, what this is for is, ever since the random item drops, you might get like five like of like the scout shotgun, but you won't get the one item you need. So now you can kind of use the parts from a scout shotgun to make what you want.
You have to like smelt down. I mean, it's very RPG.
Right. That sounds cool though.
And then a whole new set of achievements for both the demo man and the soldier.
I'm a little upset. I think by the time this comes out, we'll know who have won the war. But it looks like the soldier's winning. I'm a demo man.
The soldier's
man myself.
Up to this morning when I checked, but not by as big a gap as it was previously.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wonder what this weapon even is. But I feel bad now.
That like I was telling you this yesterday. I get the feeling they looked at the numbers ahead of time and had a pretty good idea who would win, because I'm sure they have all these statistics available to them.
I was kind of surprised. Back when I played a lot, there really weren't that many soldier players. But who knows? You know, I mean, there's no one left, right? This is all the classes after this, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Cool.
I'm just waiting for them to meet the pyro and meet the medic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope we get one of those tomorrow.
Well,
we might
what
get.
Happened to those?
They're still coming. I mean, they're just
they got side. Slow. See, this is why Left 4 Dead 2 is bad.
Oh.
Distracts them
videos.
From cooler things.
Of course.
Like Team Fortress 2 updates. And Episode 3, which we still haven't heard jack squat about. That Episode 2 came out over 2 fucking years ago. God.
I actually just started playing it again. It's so good.
It's so good. It's also 2 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even a screenshot. I'm beginning to wonder if it's coming out. I don't know if that game exists.
It doesn't exist. It's all in your head.
I know.
Valve never once said that they were going to make episode 3. You imagined all of that, and episode 2 is in fact the end. That's how it ends right there.
Dang it! Not a happy ending.
Nope.
No.
Anywho.
Anywho, overclockedremix.org, which is a video game remixing community, celebrates its 10th anniversary.
Those guys are awesome.
I know, I just want to throw that out there, because it is a fantastic site, and they deserve all the recognition they can get.
I used to go there a lot more some time ago. I haven't been there as much lately.
Actually, I've recently started going there again. Regularly.
Yeah, me too. I like what they do now is they take all the mixes and put them on YouTube so that you can preview it in like an embedded YouTube video and then download it if you want to keep it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty clever. Then we have, last week was the Spike TV Video Game Awards.
Woo!
Mixed feelings.
That was yeah, it, exactly, because I don't know, it's like a random fucking, like, televised awards show that's like supposed to, I mean, I guess it's supposed to make like games like a, you know, sort of like a bigger deal like culturally, but it doesn't really have any significance, and they're just kind of like, yeah, these are a bunch of games came out this year, what's up guys, and it's more of like a marketing thing.
Yeah, I guess I like the idea of giving games kind of more exposure like this. I don't really like that they're doing it by basically shoehorning a game award ceremony into like the generic award show.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I didn't watch the show myself. I'm
riffing this off of Four Guys One Up when they were talking about it, but it's a entertainment show than it is a celebration of video games. It's like the difference between the MTV Movie Awards and the Music Awards they do in MTV, where the Music Awards is like a celebration of music, but the MTV Movie Awards, it's a show. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. That was kind of what it was. I mean, like, on the one hand, like, hearing that Uncharted 2 got Game of the Year, like, I know that people vote on that, so I'm glad that a lot of people voted for Uncharted 2, I guess. But what real significance does it have outside of that?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, like, I love that the indie game category is called the best indie game fueled by Dew.
Dude.
Which was won by Flower. Because I know when I'm playing Flower with my petals gently floating along the breeze, I'm thinking about slamming a Dew.
Not to mention the fact that they played, like, fucking shitty cock rock while they were showing footage from Flower. Like, what? That does
so
absolutely nothing. And you want to talk fueled by Dew? Oh my, just Just ask Phil Fish what he has to say about that. That motherfucker will rant to you for hours about just that. It's like, oh, God, fuck that whole part of the show.
But we also, in addition to the awards, which, you know, whatever.
Wait. MLB 09, the show, should have been best sports game. That made me mad.
I'm sorry. Hey, people like NHL 10, too, so it's supposed to be really good.
I don't care.
Anyway, we also got a lot of rolled exclusive trailers.
Yeah, there were.
And of course, you do have to laugh a little bit because, like, they try to make these trailers out like they're going to be a big deal, and LucasArts was like, "We're going to have a new trailer reveal at Spike TV Video Game Awards. It's going to be a big deal."
These were big deal games.
They were big deals, but they're not too surprising. Sequels.
What would be surprise? Of course, they were sequels. You can't announce a big deal game if you need to announce it. It's going to be a sequel. You can't come out and say, "Here's our brand new IP." When it's going to be on the Video Game Awards, we're going to expect you to be excited.
I understand. Well, let's go through the trailers. First, it started off with a sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum, which has me very excited.
I still need to beat that.
Yeah, you do, Waymo. Well, anyway, yeah,
they had a bunch of dudes wearing gas masks running through the audience with novelty gas canisters, and they spritzed Cliffy B in the face with one. It was great.
That's hilarious. I approve of that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But the game is going to take place in Gotham City. Not like completely open world, but about the same scale probably as Arkham was. I liked how the Joker looked all beat up and he was on an IV and stuff.
It's pretty good.
We then saw the Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2 trailer. And I am very excited for the game because I like the first Force Unleashed. I just don't know how they're going to make him not dead.
Spoiler, huh?
Oh, shit. I guess that is. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's whatever.
But yeah, seriously, though. He totally died in the canonical ending, so...
Now, you know what's actually a little bit more confusing to me is I wonder how the hell they're going to beat their fucking hard drive size requirement record. Okay, the PC version of Force Unleashed that just launched on Steam, yesterday? Yeah. Just try and guess. Try and guess how much hard drive space it requires. Just throw a number out there.
Well, now that you're talking, I'm guessing it's big, so I don't know, 15 gigs?
26.
What?
Yes. It requires 26 gigabytes.
What the hell's taking up 26 gigabytes?
I have no fucking...
The Force!
Clearly, since it ran on the 360 off of a 9-gig dual-layer DVD, and then they added a couple of expansions that could possibly have maybe brought it up to, 13 or 14, I'm going to guess that the other 10 gigs are made up of just encrypted porn that somebody at Aspyr just kind of left lying around on the asset server. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Huh. Weird.
So yeah, Force Unleashed 2, I'm calling it now, 58 gigs hard drive space, calling it.
Okay.
I think it's funny, I think last week I was like, what do you think the new Star Wars game is? Is it going to be as big a deal as Force Unleashed? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. That was pretty succinct. Then I know George wants to talk about this one, the Halo Reach trailer.
It was pretty. Marty O'Donnell's music was fucking fantastic, as always. Not much that I can say that isn't patently obvious just from looking at the trailer.
I didn't actually see it yet. I didn't see it yet. Is it gameplay?
No. It's in engine. It's the opening cutscene from the game.
Is it in engine the same way that Halo 3 trailer was?
No. This one is in engine, in the sense that, I was looking at it and I could tell that it was definitely in a game engine running on a console. It was not, it wasn't pre-rendered or target render or anything like that. Looks really good. It's a new engine, so, all fancy and stuff. And here's hoping that means that there's a tiny, tiny chance that it could find its way to the PC eventually, someday, maybe. Please, Bungie. Thank you.
No.
I doubt
never.
That.
Guess not.
Think it'd be cool if it had 6-player co-op.
It may very well. But yeah, it sounded fantastic. It looked really good. people on Bungie's forums reacted as though Bungie had, like, slapped all of their mothers.
Like, what was wrong with it? It was pretty insubstantial, really. It's like, look, here's a bunch of Spartans.
What's the complaint? I just want to know what the complaint is.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It was literally just, like, a whole bunch of all caps. That trailer fucking sucked. It was boring, lol.
Well, it's funny how the closer you get to fanboyism and obsession, like, the more inclined you are to hate things.
Yeah, yes.
Like, just like from the days back when I was in Star Trek message boards, everyone hated Star Trek there. My wrestling message boards, everyone hates wrestling. It's just, it's always like that. It's weird.
It's really strange. I don't know why that happens, but I thought the trailer looked great, so...
Yeah. Let's see, we didn't have the Prince of Persia trailer, yeah. Which...
Okay, not too long ago, I asked the question... Were they retreating from the relaunch of Prince of Persia? I think this pretty much confirms that.
Oh, no, it is. This game takes place between Sands of Time and Warrior Within.
Right, so the relaunch they did is irrelevant already.
Yeah, they're just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, too. Like, they kind of redesigned the prince. Like, it looks like they took Jake Gyllenhaal's body but made his head look stupid.
What his body looks like?
Yeah, well, they showed that there's a trailer and everything. I mean, like a gameplay trailer.
That's not what I meant. All right.
He was making an unpleasant implication.
Thank you.
I get it. It took me a second, but I got it.
True.
And
I love it when he's oblivious to me making fun of him. That's the best.
I just ignore it now, that's all.
No, you don't. Yeah, that's... Yeah, sure. You're real smooth. Continue, please.
Green Day Rock Band.
Boo.
Fuck.
This is okay. Listen, I know people like Green Day. Some people who even listen to this show that I'm thinking of. Here's the problem, though. Okay, they're not as important as the Beatles. Doing the Beatles Rock Band, that's the... Okay, you know what? At first I was like, well, if they want to do their own band-specific games, that's okay. At least they're doing the Beatles. Now that they're doing Green Day Rock Band, they're no better than Activision.
Yeah, I know. I mean... I will say, at least the songs are exportable. But yeah, I don't think they need to do this.
Right.
I think even the
biggest apologists, what are you going to say anymore?
Oh, here's the unfortunate thing. You say you don't think they need to do it, but unfortunately, they do need to do it because that's what sells. So
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's funny because I guess maybe like over the past like couple of months or so, I've stopped getting pissed off at companies that produce shitty product. I'm just getting pissed off at people who buy shitty products,
right?
Because that's the real problem. Those people are the real culprits.
But like, how much money did Activision make from Guitar Hero Van Halen?
Shit tons, dude. Shit tons. That's just how it works. Oh shit, a new Guitar Hero game? Fuck, Chad's gonna love this! Credit card.
Chad. It's always Chad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chad, Dylan, I don't know.
You say those names, I just picture guys in pink Abercrombie shirts with popped collars and frosted hair.
As you should, because that is exactly what I had in mind.
Chad and Dylan.
This is gonna be great, I'm gonna bring this home with a six-pack of PBR, it's gonna be fucking sweet. Fuck you, douchebag.
Nah, that's a big deal. They got the high life for that.
The high life.
High life.
We're taking it back.
All right, we good on the video game awards. I forget any other the big trailers that are worth talking about.
There was the trailer for the Spec Ops reboot. The one that I'm trying to remember. Was it Scribble or Jeff Grubb? I don't remember. Somebody on Twitter described it as Ghost Recon The Road. Which I think is exactly what it's going to be. And, like, oddly enough, I was actually kind of interested. I do like the sense of scale that they were going for in that trailer, so we'll have to see if the game can pull it off and not just be, like, an angrier, bleaker Gears of War, which seems almost inconceivable, but... If anybody can sink to that level, it's the video game industry.
The trailer I liked best this week was not at the VGAs.
Oh, don't jump the gun. We're getting to that.
It was supposed to be a segue.
I'm in a very specific order right now.
Fine, go. Do what you want to do.
Well, actually, as I'm watching Chris play Modern Warfare 2 in his room here, let's talk about that.
Oh, why? Oh, for God's sakes, that game came out. There's glitches. Whatever, they're fixing them.
Shoot. Yeah, they fixed the javelin glitch, but it introduced an unlimited ammo glitch.
Yeah, it's a server glitch. There's problems. Yeah. Look, you're all playing it anyways. Clearly.
That's true. We have Assassin's Creed 2 DLC details. The Battle of Forleys coming out in late January for $4, and the Bonfire of the Vanities is coming out in $5 in the
end of February. They actually have a DLC called the Bonfire of the Vanities?
Yeah.
Fucking Ubisoft.
Look, I love Assassin's Creed 2. I don't need to play any more of it. I'm good.
The second one comes with a new move called the Spring Jump.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure it does.
What? Okay, you know what? If I find out that Leonardo da Vinci actually made you, like, spring-loaded shoes or some shit, probably just gonna...
Well, you do play with Machiavelli in both of these DLC packs, I know.
Between that and Dante's Inferno, Italian history
We'll talk about Dante's
dead.
Inferno later, don't worry.
Oh, fucking Christ.
I didn't play that demo yet.
Let's talk about something else equally ridiculous.
All right, onward.
Square Enix boss Yoichi Iwata, you know, he's excited that Final Fantasy XIV is happening, and he actually thinks they're going to beat World of Warcraft.
No, yeah.
Nope.
No, you can't give the guy too much crap for, you know, supporting his game, you know. If you ask a Nationals player at the beginning of the season how well they're going to do, they're going to say they're going to win the World Series. Doesn't mean we have to believe them.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you have to understand, the MMO market is a race for second place. Like, when you make an MMO, you are not competing with World of Warcraft. You are competing with everything else that's not World of Warcraft. WoW exists in its own weird little alternate dimension, where just, like, everything is Blizzard and everything is what it is, and... I mean, like you don't compete with WoW. You compete for the time that people are not playing WoW. That's just that's the reality of the MMO business. I really don't understand why everybody has to be like, "Oh, we're gonna hijack half of WoW's subscriber base." No, you're not going to. You won't.
Well, let's look at some quotes from the interview with Develop, where all this information comes from. He says this: WoW is a tough competitor. But whether you're talking about EverQuest, Ultima, or Lineage, there's never been a company that has a continuously successful number one and two MMO. Asked if he thought Final Fantasy XIV was a serious rival to World of Warcraft's throne, Wada said yes, but the flip side is that they are a tough competition.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a complete non-answer. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty tough competition, that World of Warcraft. Yeah, no shit.
Like I said, this in the car earlier today. I'm sure Final Fantasy XIV is going to be filled with great lessons learned by the MMO industry in 2003.
Yeah, like, you know, yay Final Fantasy XIV and everything, but so far it looks a lot like Final Fantasy XI, and that is not a good thing, in my opinion.
It's going to have lessons learned around the time World of Warcraft came out. It's not going to do anything new or innovative, and it's still going to have some of the carryover from Final Fantasy XI that nobody really likes.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I just don't trust Japanese developers to make a good online experience.
No, and it better not have some shit like Play On or whatever.
Play Online? Nope, still integrated.
Oh, God. Is it really?
Well, you know what's funny, actually, earlier today, just out of sheer curiosity, because I had a couple of minutes to kill, I signed up for the Final Fantasy XIV beta.
Yeah, the beta signups. I was going
to
say,
you know, and that, like you do have to make a Play Online account to sign in. And I was like, screw it, it's not a big deal. So I made an account, signed up. The best part about the beta application for Final Fantasy XIV is they have like a little questionnaire where they ask you about the stats of your PC and your gaming habits and what consoles you own, and then the last one is a question of what kind of fan site do you run. And there is no option for it, none. It's like it literally says, do you run a fan site for Final Fantasy XIV? Do you run a fan site for Final Fantasy XI? Do you run a fan site for Final Fantasy games in general, or do you run a fan site for some other game?
Isn't
those
the
day only
people having
options.
Their own fan sites like done anyways?
Oh, no, I in a final for one of my graduate courses, I basically had to make a LucasArts adventure game fan site. It was about on par with the one I made in 1998 for Curse of Monkey Island. But like it had to be to meet all the requirements. It was really stupid.
Oh God! Did you make an Angel Fire page? You made an Angel Fire page,
it's
didn't you?
Pretty much. Here, I'll give you the link to it. It's pretty bad.
Oh, my Christ. Angel Fire page is still up.
Angel Fire.
Actually, I think it was Tripod. Now.
Oh God! Wow. Bring it back. Really bringing it back.
We have, finally, some more Mega Man 10 news that I know Mike is excited to talk about.
Oh, yeah!
Would you like to take it away?
I don't really have my... I don't know what to say about the news. You probably have it organized. You can talk about it.
Well, first of all, we have shocking confirmation that the game is, in fact, coming to PS3 and 360.
Which is good, because after I beat it on the Wii, I'll play it again on the 360 and get some achievements.
We also have a trailer.
Ooh, yeah, nice
trailer. It's very exciting.
What I love about the trailer, first off, the music is kick-ass. Yes. Second off, I love like the intentional grammar mistakes in the dialogue and the narration.
It's nice to see that they get it.
But the moment where like Proto Man shows up, it's played up so perfectly. It's so corny, Proto Man. He shows like, "I think you need help, Mega Man." Mega Man's like, "Proto Man, I'd appreciate any help."
Wait, the trailer I saw is in Japanese. Where'd you see in English?
I saw it on English on Game Trailers. It's in English now.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. No. So go watch that. It's great. The levels, they had the silhouettes of the Robot Masters. You kind of get an idea where they're going from. One is sports themed, which is exciting.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing. Man.
But my love for Mega Man 9 was well known. My only thing I'm not, like, thrilled about is this easy mode.
Whatever, just don't use it.
I guess, but it's just... I get mad at people who complain that Final Fantasy IX was too hard when it was just hard
Mega
enough.
Mega Man 9, you mean?
That's what I said.
You said Final Fantasy IX?
Did I?
Yes.
Mega Man 9, excuse me. At first, when you said Mega Man 9, you're like, I was like, I'm pretty sure I said 9. I thought I got the number wrong.
Unfortunately, easy mode is the future of games right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, whatever. They better not get... their achievement better be less cool. That's all I'm saying.
It better be worth less
points.
all I'm saying is that every game I ever make is only going to have one achievement worth the full 1,000 points just for sitting through the end credits. We'll call it the Elitism Special, and that'll be it.
I like that.
But achievements.
No. Fuck achievements.
No. All right. Achievement.
We also have confirmation that the game is, in fact, coming out in March.
That's
along
pretty
with
quick.
Like, along with, like, 50 other games. Good Lord, March is going to be crowded this year.
Final Fantasy, that...
The Pokemon re-releases on DS.
Man, I'm way too excited for those. I can tell you that.
What is it? Heart Gold and Soul Silver?
Soul Silver.
Ran out of real fucking words.
Quiet, you.
Zing.
Quiet, you.
Me and Pokemon, we're not cool.
George, I'm getting Soul Silver, so you get Heart Gold, and then we can trade and we can catch them all.
Sure.
No, see, you don't have to, though, because you're just going to go online and trade for people's hacked Pokemon.
Oh, my God.
Frivolous.
Oh, that'll be sweet.
I'm a Pokemon. I'm so excited.
Jesus.
This month is National Change Your Profile Picture to Pokemon.
No, it's not. Some asshole online was like, "Oh, I know it would be funny."
It's great.
Like an official holiday.
My profile is Vaporeon right now. He's my favorite Pokemon.
What?
That's right. On Facebook.
George. He tried to make fun of me because I didn't do this.
Yeah, what an idiot! Why won't you do it? You like Pokemans?
Like, I've literally seen no one else who's done this but you.
Chris did it.
Okay.
And PJ. A lot of Squirtles. Squirtle's apparently a pretty popular Pokemon.
I think you just gave me a nosebleed.
Some girl I know did Togepi. I didn't even know she liked Pokemon.
Anyway. Yeah, Pokemon.
All right, let's move on. That's the news I got.
Man. I love Pokemon. All right. Here's quiz. Hope AJ does bad.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Great Quizzing American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz. 5 questions and a bonus question. I like the bonus question this week.
Great.
Oh, jeez.
First question. What was the first EA Sports Tiger Woods game called?
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 05? No, wait, it's been like 10 years, so 99? Yeah.
It was Tiger Woods 99, I'll give that to you. So,
all right.
Not bad, wow. Not bad.
How about pulling that out of my ass?
They didn't throw in the PGA Tour part until the very next one. The first one was just Tiger Woods for whatever reason.
Okay.
I have a feeling the next one will be just PGA Tour. they'll be dropping him like he thought. How many playable characters were in Final Fantasy XII?
Damn it. You're going to make me try to think this out. 7.
6.
Damn it.
You lose. All right. How many does Final Fantasy VI have?
Oh, God. Like 12?
Yeah, I'll give you the clue that it had more than any other one.
12?
14.
Damn.
Yeah, it had a lot of characters. All right. Question 4. What decade does Deus Ex take place in?
George, do you know? I forget.
Here's a hint. It's the future.
No.
Oh, no shit.
The 20XDs.
Is it like 2040s or something?
I am going to guess 2030s, but wow, I should totally know that, but I
know, I should too.
I'm going to guess 2030s.
Okay, I'll put the onus on you. 2030s.
2050s.
Ah.
Fuck. Okay, well, it was an odd number.
All right. Hey, I forget. Did you get the second question, AJ? The how many playable characters were in Final Fantasy XII?
No, I was off.
Okay, good. So you got one right so far. All right. Question number 5. Name the 2 human members of your party in Mass Effect.
Oh,
just first names will be fine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know them.
Go ahead. I'm brain farting.
It's Kaiden Alenko and Ashley Williams.
Yes.
Jeez. All right. Got it.
But bam.
And the bonus question. Name the red mage from my original Final Fantasy team.
What? Oh, good Lord.
Bosco.
Well, I'll give you a clue. I named him after something. Oh, not another video game character.
Great.
What else would I name somebody out there?
I don't know. Is it like Aragorn?
Is that your guess? I'll give you 3 guesses.
Okay.
No, on Aragorn.
Was it Tolkoto?
I said I named him after something, not me. That one didn't count. Try harder.
Was it Shiggy?
No. One more.
Come on. Oh,
was it Mailman?
What?
Look, it was a. They're named after fictional characters, okay? He's named after a Star Trek character. God. Got one more guess.
Was it God?
Picard?
Yes, Picard.
Yes, I got it right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you still fail the quiz.
You are ridiculous.
Totally fair quiz.
Whatever.
All right, guys. Let's talk about the game of the decade.
Ah, fuck.
So,
the problem is I pretty succinctly know my answer, so I'll let you guys talk for a little bit.
Yeah, like, and I know like an hour before we started recording, I get a text message from AJ. Hey, we're doing game of the decade, so think of one. And I'm just like, I spent the next hour just going, fuck.
Well, what goes into the game of the decade? It cannot be just good, but it has to be important. It had to set trends. So it'll be hard to pick a game from, say, this year and call it game of the decade.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't choose my game of the decade, but I can at least tell you the ones that popped into my head first.
Let's start with that.
Okay, the ones that came into my head first were Half-Life 2.
Yes.
Portal.
Yes.
Halo, like OG Halo. That was 2001. Yeah. I
I kind of feel weird throwing this in there since it was pretty recent, but I would kind of put Mirror's Edge in there just for myself, kind of.
Okay. I'll give you that.
That would be a tough case to make, so I don't really know if I can say it.
I like Mirror's Edge more than most people do. I think everyone's way too hard on Mirror's Edge. I don't know if I buy that, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I could call it Game of the Decade, but I fucking adored it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
And I know this would never be Game of the Decade, but Beyond Good and Evil was just kind of bouncing around in the back of my mind the whole time.
One so far you didn't say that I think would have to be there would be World of Warcraft.
I was actually just about to throw that out there.
Yeah, and you have to at least throw that in there.
Yeah, because that did come out this decade.
The problem with World of Warcraft, though, like, despite how popular it is, it's such a love it or hate it kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
Although, I mean, you can't deny the influence it had.
Right, and exactly. even in other games. I mean, yeah, you know, we're seeing stuff like Borderlands
there's the other
now.
Thing. Are we talking, like, most important, like, most influential? Or are we just talking, like, good?
Like, I think this time...
high quality.
High quality is important, but influential... We're talking about.
Well, then, if we're talking like most important or most influential game, it's pretty much going to come down to either World of Warcraft or The Sims.
I would hold Halo in that company too.
First person shooters on console were a big thing. Because, multiplayer, you know, I'm the Halo fanboy, but yeah, I agree.
I was thinking Half-Life 2. That's where I'm going.
I mean, that was my original thought as well.
Why? How could you say that you don't think that was important?
I think best, it's pretty probably best, best game of the decade should go to Valve Software.
Valve is
the best game of the decade.
But I mean, so like, I
Steam
think Half-Life 2 really,
really
sort of started the whole idea of set pieces in games, like how you would have them in movies. We see that all the time now.
It also, like, it did great things for narrative. It was one of the first games that really made a big deal about its facial animation technology, which is something I think we take for granted
now.
But
to be honest, it's the only game that's ever made a big deal of its facial animation technology.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the characters could show such a range of emotions without saying anything in 2004, it's pretty good.
Right.
And the fact that, like, we kind of still haven't really topped that. I mean, with the exception of, like, you know, the Uncharted games. But on the other hand, all of the facial animation in Uncharted was done by hand. Whereas in Half-Life 2, it was, you know, it was all based on sliders, and it was kind of dynamically adjustable. That's still a big fucking deal.
Again, just the physics idea. Like we see so many games now where almost every game has to have the Havoc engine in it now.
Yeah, but like Half-Life's physics, not only were they new at the time, but they mattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it wasn't like we had things like Max Payne where it's like, oh, so look, as you're shooting up this room, like books go flying off shelves and things get knocked over. And you're like, oh, that's cool. But like Half-Life, the physics really did. You know, I mean, they were used for gameplay. It was important. Mm-hmm.
And Portal, though, I kind of like that too, just because I feel like Portal was the rise of the little game. It was for the first time we weren't mad about a game being too short or shit like that. It was like the first time we stepped back from the whole games had to be bigger, they got to be better, they got to be huge. You know, throw this and that and this and cutscenes in, and it was a more pure experience, and you know, it really made a big impact that way.
Yeah, I think you could almost say that Portal, I mean, at least for the mainstream gamer, Portal was the gateway drug to indie games.
Right.
Right.
Because it really was. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it was pretty much designed by a team out of DigiPen that got hired by Valve. I mean, they were working for Valve, but it was still that team.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, you know, Kim Swift, she moved now to, where'd she go? Skipping my mind.
Crap, you know. Hang on. I'm sure we can find this out thanks to the magic of the internet.
That's very true.
Who's Kim Swift?
Oh no, she
the designer of Portal.
She moved to Airtight Games. Those are the guys who made Dark Void.
That's it. Yeah, the guys doing Dark Void.
Wait, so she doesn't live? She doesn't work for Valve anymore?
Nope. No, this just happened last week.
Why'd she leave? Because they refused to make Episode 3.
That must be it, Mike.
That's probably what it is. Yep.
I bet.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
But also too, like so much like rage. When George was saying that Valve is game of the year, let's not even forget too that Valve really was the first ones to push digital distribution in a major way on the PC. Too.
Valve would, I mean, be, like, Valve would be studio of the year, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's I mean, not if I could be if I could be flippant, I would definitely say that Steam is actually the game of the decade.
Yeah.
But see, that's, you know, that's not. I feel kind of stupid saying this, but hush. Steam is not a game.
Hush.
I was about to say that, like, very sincerely, but Steam isn't a game. George.
Clearly this man has no clue what he's talking about.
Yeah, George, you can't be on the show anymore.
Aw. Aw, sad face.
Well, I don't know if I'm cutting this short right
Final
now.
Final Fantasy
X-2, but...
game of the decade.
No.
Yes.
I don't know, it sounds like we're kind of in agreement here about Half-Life 2, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I was sitting there kind of racking my brain going, like, is it going to be Half-Life 2 or Halo? And, like, it was weird to think about those because they're both first-person shooters, and they both start with the same three letters.
let's be honest. And... The first-person shooter is the genre right now.
Yeah,
but
really
far
is.
And away, no genre comes close to the popularity of the first-person shooter.
I mean, that's definitely true. And, you know,
And the versatility of it, even.
Yeah. And, like, because, you know, I could just as easily make a case for Halo as I could for Half-Life 2. But, like, I'm also such a Halo fanboy that, like, I can never be sure if I'm not just throwing my own bias onto it.
Yeah, right. I would like to say
I am
Kingdom
absolutely
Hearts, but...
certain... Right, exactly. And, like, I'm absolutely certain that Half-Life 2 is a masterpiece, no bias. And I consider Halo to be a masterpiece, but there are significantly more people in the world who think that Halo is shit than people who think that Half-Life 2 is shit.
Right.
Yeah, Half-Life 2 doesn't have the controversy. But, you know what, that comes from, you know, with any mega success, you're going to get a backlash.
Yeah.
It's just the
backlash against Halo was much bigger than the backlash.
Well,
because
the success was bigger.
To,
let's be honest.
Okay. I guess like financially, success was bigger. And you know, I mean, there are you know, and I could talk for hours about how good Halo is, and you know, my continuous nonstop ranting about how amazing Silent Cartographer is and all that other shit. But you know, like I would never be able to like fully remove my own bias from talking about Halo. So I'm gonna have to give it to Half-Life 2.
If I wasn't gonna give it to Half-Life 2, it would be World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Just for it being the big deal that is, and just recently I finally kind of gotten into it. But the problem is, it you know, despite how popular it is in words, it's divisive. You know, it's hard to get into the endgame content, which I feel like you know that is the game.
Yeah, see, my thing, too, that game's here right now is, like, everyone talks about how amazing the Wrath of the Lich King content is, but for me to go back to that game, I still got 7 more levels in Outland to get through. And while the Outland content is, from what I can tell, better than the original stuff, it's empty in there. Feels like, it's like I have to play through 15 hours of okay stuff to get to the good stuff.
But you can't reconcile. How do you reconcile that? You can't just say, "Well, then you can skip ahead."
Well, exactly.
Some people get mad.
It's a fundamental problem. I think that's what's exciting about Cataclysm. At least is like at least all the original worlds getting rehauled a bit. But mm-hmm. Outland's still going to be there like that, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, Half-Life 2 then.
So, Half-Life 2 is the Exploding Barrel Podcast Game of the Decade.
Oh man, damn. Put it on the box reissue. There's
yeah.
no box anymore.
There's no box.
Half-Life 2 Game of the Decade Edition.
Put it on the splash page. Game of the Decade Edition. All right, that was fun, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Let's talk
wow,
about
that was filled with considerably less yelling and controversy than I expected.
Yeah, that went better than I thought it would.
Yeah, because I mean, also, like, I was kind of resisting the urge to throw in a whole bunch of like weird little games that I fucking loved, but would
right.
never in a million years be game of
right.
the decade. Like, yeah. Katamari Damacy, game of the decade! Like, no,
yeah.
no,
no,
shut
no.
up, George. Stop.
Shadow of the Colossus, you know, awesome game. Game of the decade.
Yeah. I discovered something the other day. Shadow of the Colossus is the video game equivalent of Godwin's Law. As any online game design discussion grows longer, the probability of a reference involving Shadow of the Colossus approaches 1.
That's all you're
throwing
that
out there. Kokoris's Law. That's what it is.
All right, who played some video games?
I played some video games.
I did too.
I didn't. I stopped playing video games. I'm done with it now.
Okay. Actually, can I go first?
Go for it.
Yeah, sure.
Yay. So I was talking about before, but I was playing Team Fortress 2 for the war update. I just want to say that when you go into that game now as a demo man or a soldier, there's like a new HUD element that shows you how many of the opposing side you've killed. And it's really, really fun. Because, like, you know, I was playing a King of the Hill map as a demo man today. And I'm, like, you know, putting my pipe bombs down on the capture point. And I'm shooting up guys and blah, blah. A soldier! And you just, like, run after this soldier. Like, all bets are off. It's like, that asshole, I gotta get him.
Everything stops. Get the soldier!
Exactly. Like, I wish, like, there was a way that they could do some kind of random metagame like this, like, every month or something. Because it's really fun.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I just needed to throw that out there because I was playing it today and I was having an absolute blast. I haven't played that game in a while, I realize, and playing it today, I was like, this game is still so good. And they put something new in it that I kind of missed. I don't know when this happened, but you know like how at the end of a round, the losing team is stripped of their weapons and the winning team just like gets instant crits on them just to finish them off?
Yeah.
Well, now the losing team, your view gets kicked into third person and your guy like runs around with his hands in the air like, ah, help me. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, so, huzzah. I played the demo this week for Dante's Inferno on the PlayStation 3.
How'd that go?
It's, I mean, shocking, but it's a God of War ripoff, turns out.
No.
Whoa, yeah. No shit.
The thing
so
is,
we've gone
though,
from Greek mythology fanfiction to Dante Alighieri fanfiction?
Right. The thing is, though, as far as the gameplay goes, it's actually not bad. I found myself rather enjoying it in a strange way as far as, you know, playing it and hacking up guys with the Scythe of Death. The story is... for you to be able to enjoy this game, you have to...
What story? What story? It's the divine fucking comedy. Where are the spears and the tits? There aren't any because it's the divine fucking comedy.
You have to go into it. God. You have to say to yourself, look, this has nothing to do with the poem. This is just an excuse
then
to
call
fight
it
through hell and look at some
else.
Tits.
That's all I ask. That's the only they can do whatever the hell they want. The game might even actually be good. It's just as long as they actually call that game Dante's Inferno, I will never... No, fuck that shit.
You know, George...
I may actually pirate that game and finish it just to fuck with them.
George, they're talking sequel.
Oh, Dante's Purgatorio, right?
I think I broke George.
Purgatorio, is that next?
You know...
But no, I mean, I enjoyed
right now,
playing
the
it. It looks good, it plays well,
that's...
so it's got that going for it.
The only thing that's keeping me alive right now is the fact that I've already bought a ticket to see Avatar tonight, and I don't want my money to be wasted if I fucking hang myself.
All right.
Okay. That's cheery.
Sorry, that was supposed to be, like, comically morbid, but that was instead just straight
just
morbid. God damn it. I'm not actually
anyway.
Suicidal, guys.
Okay, good.
Good.
I'm going to move on. So, my excitement for Mega Man 10 prompted me to go out and buy a used copy of Mega Man Maverick Hunter X.
Yes!
On the PSP.
Yes!
I know, it's so fun.
Oh, the game is so good.
Because, Mike, you got a copy, and I just played yours. And I was like, I really want to play a Mega Man game right now, and I need something portable because I'm out a lot. Yeah, Maverick Hunter X.
Maverick Hunter X is pretty
wild. $9 well spent. Again, I was like, wait, that's on the PlayStation Store. I'm going to go look. It's $20. I'm like,
yep.
That has to be cheaper at GameStop. And it was $9 used at GameStop. I'm like, whatever. Fine.
Yep.
Done. The big game I played this week, I guess, would be Pixel Junk Shooter on the PlayStation 3. Mm. Everyone should go buy this game. It's awesome. For those who don't know.
I've been hearing great things.
It's not a twin stick shooter because you actually don't shoot with two sticks. You know, you're moving a little ship around. The left stick moves your direction. The right stick aims, but you actually have to push a button to shoot. But if you aim in the direction you're moving, that's also how you, like, fly faster. And really, more than a shooter, it's really an environmental puzzle game. Because you have this dynamic where, as you go through these caverns, some of the terrain's destructible, and there's pools of water, there's pools of lava, and there's gas geysers. And if the water and lava meet, they form destructible ground. And if lava hits the gas ignites. And you have to save all these little scientists as you're going around. So sometimes you have to, like, do something really quick or you have to open up the way, but lava's going to come. So you have to get in there, grab them, and get out before the lava hits. You might have to be careful about how you ignite gas. It's, you know, it's actually really fun. It looks gorgeous, has a great art style. The way water and lava moves in the game looks really cool. And there is two-player co-op, which I haven't tried yet, but I understand it's really good as well. So everyone should check that game out. I like it a lot.
Awesome.
Cool, cool.
Gonna have to pick that up.
You play anything else?
I got Pac-Man Championship Edition on the iPhone.
You claim it doesn't work, right?
I was playing it again today while you were at getting your H1N1 vaccine. You have to kind of get the hang of it, but there's like all these different control options, and none of them are particularly ideal. They all have some kind of weakness, but there's one that works the best where there's like three buttons on the bottom of the screen for left, right, and down, and then tapping the gameplay field is up. That seemed to be the best one. Like, the swipe controls are shit. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, like I said, they seem to have staggered this, that the initial game is cheap, but there's DLC for, like, most of the levels. But I feel like most people are going to play and be like, this doesn't control very well, won't buy the DLC. So, whoops. But, you know, like I think it's, like, $3 right now if you want to try it. What the hell? All right, I'm done.
Interesting.
Okay. I want to go.
Go.
I play DJ Hero, finally, which I got for my birthday, but when I wanted to play Assassin's Creed 2 first. I beat Assassin's Creed 2. Not much more to say about that game besides that I really liked it. It was awesome. Actually, wait. I want to go back for a second. George, I remember you tweeting, because you were playing Assassin's Creed 2 before I did, that you didn't love it at first, right?
No. Well, because what happened was my roommate borrowed a copy. We were playing it on his PS3. And he was playing like maybe the first 3 or 4 hours of the game, and I just, you know, I sat there and kind of like watched some of it. I jumped in, I played a little bit of it, and that game, that felt really rough around the edges. I don't know if maybe like his PlayStation was having a bad day or something, but none of the detail textures loaded in. So when you're playing Mass Effect or just about any like Unreal Engine 3 game, there's that texture pop in where like it takes a couple of seconds to load, where like you're just looking at all like the low resolution right, exactly. Assassin's Creed 2 looked like that the whole time. That's what the entire game looked like. So I'm looking at it and like the only thing that I could think of is the fact that the game looked significantly worse than the first one. Well, it was really rough. I mean, like some of the animations were really wooden, and there were actually a couple of points where I saw, I just saw straight up geometry bugs. I mean, I saw textures getting tiled wrong. There were actually like a couple of instances where like objects in the world just wouldn't be textured. And I'm just kind of looking at this, and like the frame rate was all over the place. It was really weird. And I'm just watching the game, and I'm like, wow, this is getting good reviews. This game is broken.
I've never saw any of that.
I wonder if now if 360 versus Switch better, if I'm just very unobservant. Because yeah, like
no, I mean, I would, that like, never occurred to me. That texture popping thing you're talking about, that drives me nuts, and I would have noticed that.
Yeah, see, the
I
thing is that like
once.
It wasn't even that there was texture popping; it was that the textures never popped. It was just always running at low res.
Yeah, that never happened for me at all. So I don't know if it's a PS3 thing or what, but
that never happened
on the 360.
I just remember like, you know, playing the game for a couple of hours and just not liking it at all.
That's too bad, because I freaking love that game.
So, I mean, like, yeah. You know, when it comes out for the PC, because I played the first one on the PC, and I loved it.
Right.
So when the second one manages to come around to the PC, I may screw around with it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if the bad taste hasn't subsided by then.
Right.
Anyways, I loved it, so, and I beat it.
Okay, well, then that's good, at least.
Yeah, but I finally got to play DJ Hero, which I really enjoy DJ Hero. I have to say, AJ gives it shit, and I think he's.
I enjoy it.
No,
I
you
just
don't.
Think
you get so mad.
Work.
It's you know, you get mad because it's not like Guitar Hero where you can go in every time. When you play Beatles Rock Band, what do you average on your percentage every time you play a Beatles Rock Band song?
What?
Well, yeah, it's
high 90s,
it's
exactly.
Game.
That's what
that's
you
okay.
expect.
Mike, look, have I ever turned you and said, what the hell, I should have 5 stars and 100%?
Just because you're not,
no.
Just because you're not angry, I don't know what to say, because you get
this
mad
because
you say
this is what
the slider
I said at lunch
work.
Today, dear,
and
dear
the slider
listeners,
works.
And he dismissed me.
The slider
he,
works.
Remember Mike's complaint about Natal that's not out yet, when he said, if it's not 99% accurate, then it fails, because blah, blah, blah.
But it's accurate, it's not a problem with accuracy, it knows when it's in the middle.
No,
it
yeah, but the problem is
left.
That the controller's not designed in a way that I can hit the middle every time. I can't tell you how many combos I get broken that game because I try to slide that fader back to center, and I go like a quarter of an inch too
and
far,
you miss.
And it breaks my combo.
So basically you're saying you don't have a feel for it yet.
No, I'm saying
so you're
no
saying,
way
you're
to
saying
get
that,
that
you will never get any better. You've played this game for an hour. You're never going to get any better at that.
Mike, I've played more of this
you're
game
never
than
gonna
you,
get,
I promise.
You have – oh, yeah, right, you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I've been playing quite a bit of it. Okay, you said no.
Fine, then you go out and buy another DJ turntable, and we'll have a DJ battle.
I'll certainly beat you. I don't want to DJ battle you, Mr. Naysayer. Fact of the matter is that the game is fun. It's not...
Like I said, I think it's got some good...
Here's the
thing. It's better than I thought it would be, and I love the music. I've always said that.
It's a great soundtrack. It's a really long soundtrack. And I can't have fun with Guitar Hero games anymore. I can't. The only way I can possibly have fun with Guitar Hero or Rock Band games if it's a song I really like. Usually then I'll just want to sing it. Because I am over playing songs on that fake guitar. I'm done with it. You know, and I was, back when Guitar Freaks came out, I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. I'm done with that. I just can't have fun with it anymore. Because it's at a point now where I know how good I can do. And I'm not going to, unless I make it my job to get better, I'm not going to get any better at that. So I know when I play a game, when I play a song on Rock Band or guitar, I know how well I'm going to do, whatever. It's autopilot. It's not a challenge, despite the fact that I may not, you know, I'm not saying it's not a challenge because I'm so good at it. It's just there's certain segments I'm just not going to get, certain things I'll do. I know what to expect there. This is much more like an actual music game to me, where it's not so worried about, you know, it's not the game servicing the music, which is often the problem in Rock Band and Guitar Hero for me, where we have these 13-minute long songs that are just too long and they're filled with long pauses where nothing is happening because we can't, you know, we don't want to hurt the music or anything like that. And the result is a game that's not as much fun. Here, the game is completely fun. So that's what I like. And I just like, there's a lot of different things to it. It's not just the buttons, the scratches. I love the rewind thing. We have to spin the whole deck around and stuff like that. My only complaint is that the game's butt ugly because of that terrible Guitar Hero art style.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The whole music game... I guess the whole peripheral-based music game genre is just totally lost on me. Like, I'll play Lumines for days. I'll play Guitaru Man, like, you know, twice a week for the rest of my life, but Guitar Hero, Rock Band, I don't know.
I know, it's understandable. Like I said, I'm getting...
I guess, I don't know, maybe it has something to do with the fact that, like, I had already been playing the guitar for a while when Guitar Hero first came out, and I tried playing it once, and I just sucked at it because I was trying to play it like a guitar. Maybe that just kind of pushed me away from it. I don't know.
I will say that we don't need a DJ Hero 2. DJ Hero 1 is great. It's fine. We don't need... You know, there's already like 100 songs in it.
Mike,
well,
you don't think there's going to be a DJ Hero 2?
Well,
that's not even doing that well, is it?
Sure, it's doing well enough for them to make a second
that's
one.
That's
and
what
a third
saying.
One and
we
a fourth
don't...
one. Then there will be DJ Hero Daft Punk and DJ Hero Eminem and...
Yeah,
I'll get
What's
DJ
that?
Hero.
No.
I'll get DJ Hero Gorillas.
No, because they're not DJs or mixers or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
I don't...
No, they're producers, yeah. But no, I mean the truth of it is that we don't need it, but Activision needs it. So
I guess so.
It's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Let's see. Besides that, AJ got me Mass Effect on the PC for my birthday, which is kind of a nice gift.
PC version is great.
It is really nice. Because I started the game back when it came on the 360, and I got past like all the introductory stuff. Then I think my save file was on AJ's Xbox and it got stolen or something. Something happened. I never got further. So now I'm finally kind of playing through it again. And now that I kind of beat Dragon Age, and I actually have some confidence in my Western RPG skills,
Like, you know, I've turned off the auto leveler and stuff like that. Like, I kind of know what I'm doing a bit more. But, you know, I've been having fun with it. Obviously, Mass Effect's a fun game. I will say, though, isn't it funny how when, like, I remember when, like, the first, like, demonstration of, like, that conversation thing was shown at, like, E3, everyone, like, shat themselves. Like, holy shit, the future is here. This is, like, the dynamic cutscene, but it's interactive.
Never mind that, in a lot of ways, Sam and Max Hit the Road kind of did that.
Right. Yeah, it just, like, I never, just playing it now, it's like, you know, it works fine as a nice way to go through dialogue trees, but it's not necessarily an improvement over just scrolling up and down on your answers.
Yeah. I mean, I like it because it keeps the conversations kind of flowing.
Right, and you know, it's you know, it works. I'm not saying it's not functional when it works well. It's just, yeah. it's just isn't it funny remembering how we all thought that was like the selling point of the game?
Yeah,
was the way the conversation trees were going to work out. But you know, besides that, you know, it's fun, and hopefully, I'll be able to get through it in time for Mass Effect 2. Those are the big ones for me though. George?
All right.
Yeah, well, you know, again, same Full Sail excuse, very little time to play, but I am still playing way too much Wipeout HD. Because, you know, I mean it's a game. Yeah, it's a game you can play in like a short burst, like, you know, maybe a 15 or 20 minute sitting, get a couple of races in, and it's fun, it's good. I've kind of started getting back into Eve because I have a couple of friends who just started playing, so I'm kind of walking them through it. And actually, the help that I'm offering them is pretty much going to be the last time that I spend in known space, because a couple of months from now I'm gonna be moving my character out into wormhole space, which is completely uncharted, completely unpredictable. Doesn't even have local chat, so you'll have absolutely no idea who's around until they scan you down and blow you up. So that's gonna be sweet. And
man, Eve is weird. Eve is just so unlike any other game.
And that's why I like it, because it does kind of it's its own weird little parallel universe. But the other thing is, I actually just recently started playing another game that I should have played months ago and never got around to. We'll play a little guessing game. Which game has this line of dialogue, which may very well be the greatest line of dialogue in any game ever? All right, when I go like this, you guys go absolutely nut shit on whatever I'm pointing at.
Oh, Brutal Legend.
Yeah. That right there, when he said that line, I'm just kind of, I was like, wow, that's fantastic.
I just love
those silly little like obnoxious colloquialisms that he throws in. They're so perfect. It's like they sound like just like a bunch of silly shit that would just kind of fall flat, but in reality, it really works. It's just so pitch perfect. Just tonally, it's amazing. I love that game.
Yeah, I always say I really like the game. I feel like a lot of people didn't give it a fair shake because that demo didn't show any of the RTS stuff, and people were like, wait, no, it's actually a real-time strategy game, so you shouldn't buy it. But that stuff was really good in the game. I liked it a lot.
Are you talking to me, AJ?
Well, everybody, you haven't even started it yet.
I haven't tried it yet.
But you know what it is? Brutal Legend is Sacrifice with a heavy metal skin. That's what it is. And yeah, Sacrifice, I adored Sacrifice. I loved that game. But I know a lot of people.
The story in Brutal Legend is great. The writing, everything about it.
It's really well written. It's funny, and just you know, I mean, a lot of it is just the little details that are so thematically perfect. Like if you're trying to reach an objective on the map, you know, instead of just like a marker or like a little beam of light telling you where you're supposed to go, there are spotlights hovering in the sky, shining down on the spot where you're supposed to go. You know, like what is this like the first or the second mission where that chick is trying to she's trying to get weapons so that she can arm herself and these other chicks that she fights with, and the way she arms herself is by running down these animals that are like part wild boar, part motorcycle. And then you like knock one to the ground for her. She walks up to it, reaches down, and she pulls its entire skeleton out of its body, and it's a gun. It's It is so metal, it is beyond that which can be encompassed by metal. It's so good. I love that shit.
Yes.
So yeah, lots of Brutal Legend, little bit of Eve, little bit of Wipeout HD here and there between all the other stuff, and then the rest of the time is, you know, there's schoolwork. I finally wrote my first I wrote my first 3D game engine. I'm really enjoying that. Yeah, I got some DirectX rendering working, and I can do terrains now, and a little bit of lighting, and it's, you know, I mean, it's one of those things you look at it and you're like, yeah, whatever, buddy, but it's, you know, it's really satisfying, especially since, like, this time last year I had never written a line of code in my life, so it's
yeah,
exciting.
That's impressive.
So I would actually say that all of the coding and all the lab projects that I've been doing at Full Set, that's probably the best game I've been playing for the past couple of months. Because it is a game. It's a giant 2-year, really, really expensive puzzle game that gives you a degree at the end.
Well, good.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Well, I guess we're ready for the releases.
Indeed.
Yeah. Do it. They do it.
All right. A lot of Nintendo downloads this week. We have a bunch of WiiWare games, nothing exciting. Stunt Cars, Diatomic, Moki Moki, and Rubik's Puzzle Galaxy Rush. DSiWare has Littlest Pet Shop, Miami Nights, Bejeweled Twist, Yummy Yummy Cooking Jam, and Master of Illusion Express Matchmaker. The Virtual Console.
I just have to interject here. Somebody who didn't know anything about video games would really just think that you were speaking complete gibberish just then, because I barely understood it.
I know.
That's madness. When it gets to the point where the release lists sound like Tourette syndrome.
Doki Poki.
Yeah, it's just
Doki Poki Rush.
Yeah. Rubik's Galaxy Rush Thing Cube Trip Beat. Cooking.
It's just words. Those
yeah.
Titles. Yeah. It just sounds.
Anyway, go on. Virtual Console.
Virtual Console has two exciting releases, actually. The NES Classic Blaster Master.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so you could all bash your heads in trying to beat that game.
Oh, God.
And the Sega Genesis version of Earthworm Jim 2.
Wow.
I still have a poster for Earthworm Jim 2 hanging in this room.
I know. You've had that for a long time.
Too cool for a headline. That's what it says.
Which is a headline.
That's... Doug Tenaple is a wild man.
Yes. On Xbox Live Arcade, got Puzzlegeddon and Alien Breed Episode 1. And a very exciting Xbox original release, Viva Piñata Party Animals.
Wait.
Viva Piñata.
Oh, you mean Xbox On Demand.
Okay. Yeah.
No, because I heard you say Xbox Originals, Xbox, and I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, wait, they're bringing it back?
Yeah,
holy shit!
Bad.
Like,
I wish.
Way,
yeah.
Way to get my
Game
hopes up,
demand.
Buddy.
Aww. My bad. The PlayStation Network update, as of recording time, has not been posted anywhere.
Aw.
Why is that always late?
There's no
expected releases, I can recall. In place of their release list, let me just
tell Fantasy-
you to everybody needs to download... Half Minute Hero and the demo for a little. Oh, that was the other thing I totally forgot to mention. I played the demo for Little Big Planet PSP. Holy shit!
Yeah,
that game is actually good.
AJ hates it.
I just don't like that you can't control it with the D-pad.
I don't know. I guess I've never really had a problem with the little analog nub thingy.
No, that's the thing. I never really did either.
But it's. I mean, actually, I do have to say, the thing that really shocked me is that it looks fantastic.
It does look very nice,
it's,
yes.
I knew that the PSP is a fairly powerful piece of hardware, but I had no idea it could do that. Pretty, I was really impressed by that. Anyway, just in lieu of a PSN release list, just tell everybody to download the Little Big Planet demo for PSP.
Yes. Isn't Final Fantasy VIII supposed to be coming?
I know it is coming. I don't know if it's today.
They're like classics.
Yeah, and it is worth mentioning, too, the comic book reader store launched yesterday.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, right.
Yes. And then on Games on Demand, or good old games, UFO Aftershock and Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Yes.
Downloading later tonight.
Yeah,
does that mean
I
the
actually,
Riven mission's coming?
It better mean it.
Yeah, no, I actually Just finished downloading that, so gonna be playing cool. that.
You did remember to go to SquadronOfShame.com first and click on our affiliate link to GoodOldGames.com,
well,
right?
Yes, that is exactly what I did. Because I don't even have GOG bookmarked. I just have Squadron of Shame bookmarked, and then I'm all like, GOG bitches, click.
There you go. That's what you all should do. You should all learn.
That's true. Everybody needs to do that. So does funny. Like, I'm just used Riven. To doing that automatically. But
yes,
yeah,
it does.
Go and, yes, you do have to play Riven because it's fantastic.
Ew. That's another Ew. Game I resisted bringing up in Games of the Decade was Myst 3 and
please.
Myst 4.
Myst 3.
Ooh,
yeah,
you know what? Myst 3, 4, and 5, I can't do them. I can't do them. For me, it begins with Myst and ends with Riven. That's it.
Ah, but 3 is so good.
Ugh.
Ugh. Ugh to you.
All right, well then.
I love Myst 3.
Ugh to you. Sir.
Oh.
All right.
I throw the gauntlet at you.
Yikes.
Here's the games that came out from retail. Clearly things have finally slowed down. The holiday season seems to be pretty much over. We had Virtual City for PC, which is SMC ripoff. Europa Universalis 3, Heir to the Throne for PC. EverQuest Underfoot, the 16th expansion for EverQuest.
They Jeez. Made another EverQuest expansion?
Yeah, they
Jeez,
did.
They
there
just
it
won't
is.
Stop.
Hear about these anymore.
They will not stop.
Besides that, it's mostly the... Well,
oh,
the
Reader
digital
Rabbit
releases.
Kindergarten
yeah.
for the DS.
That's pretty much it. Okay, we're done here. God. That was sad. What happened?
Oh,
like, that was quick.
We're done.
Yeah, the Christmas arrived is what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, wouldn't Rogue Warrior have been on that list, or was that for last week?
That was last week, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, the games. Oh.
Yeah, I saw the giant bomb playing through it. It was pretty funny.
Oh, Jesus. It's, wow, yeah.
Anywho,
How
I think we're going to wrap things
fallen.
Up here. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. And also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for coming on, George. It was always good to hear from you.
Thanks, dudes. Always a pleasure.
And we will see you next time on the Exploding Barrel podcast. Have a good Christmas, everyone, or whatever holiday you celebrate.
Bye, dudes. Happy Hanukkah.